Welcome to the Deep Dive. This is where we take your stack of sources, find those essential nuggets, and give you the analysis you really need to be informed. And today, we are getting into a really fascinating and I think surprisingly complex corner of the outdoor economy. We're talking about the professional fishing guide.
Yeah, the sources you gave us are really targeted. They get right into the specifics of, you know, the liabilities and insurance you need when your job is literally putting clients on the water.
That's it, exactly.
Yeah.
And our mission here is to kind of peel back the curtain on what seems like a dream job. I mean, who wouldn't want to fish all day?
Right.
But the reality is, to do this professionally, you're not just a fishing expert. You have to be a risk manager, a logistics person.
Yeah.
You're even kind of a legal gatekeeper for your own business.
And that's the fascinating part, isn't it? The sources really emphasize how a guide's legal responsibility, what they call a duty of care, it just elevates their exposure so much higher than, say, you and me just going fishing on a weekend.
So it's not just about knowing where the fish are.
No, not at all. It's this continuous, close attention to safety, to the equipment, to the water conditions. And this deep dive, I think, is really going to unpack the specific and often not so obvious liabilities that come with that.
Okay, let's do it. Let's get into those specific risks.
Mm.
Because you see fishing promoted as, you know, this super safe, low impact outdoor activity.
Mm-hmm.
But the sources are absolutely clear. You put enough people on boats, in dynamic weather and accidents, well, they're going to happen. It's just a matter of when.
Exactly. And we're not talking about like a lightning strike out of nowhere. The liability comes from negligence, or at least the perception of negligence in the day-to-day operation. The documents really focus on three. Let's call them liability hot zones.
Hot zones. I like that. So give us the details. Where does the liability actually come from?
Okay. So the first one is actually kind of surprising. It's ingress and egress.
Meaning just getting on and off the boat.
Just getting on and off the boat. The sources are so specific here. Slips, falls, twisted ankles on wet surfaces. It's a huge area for claims because it happens before the fishing has even really started.
Wow. Okay. That's a perfect example of a risk that has nothing to do with actually fishing. What's the next one?
The next one is, well, it's the classic hazard you'd think of. Lure trauma.
Ah, yeah. Getting hooked.
Exactly. Hooks accidentally lodging in a client's hand, their face, their neck. And even if a guide is being super careful, you're in close quarters, you're casting, it's just an inherent risk. But the guide's response to that injury, that's what falls under their legal responsibility.
And the third hot zone.
Environmental trauma.
Yeah.
The sources specifically mention impact injuries. So a guide can know a river like the back of their hand, but water levels change.
Right.
And all it takes is hitting a hidden log or a stump just under the surface. The client gets a serious back injury. And even if the guide didn't know it was there, the client's lawyer could argue they failed to operate the boat safely for the conditions.
So you've got slips getting on a boat, you've got wayward hooks, you've got hidden stumps. These examples really show why your basic business insurance policy, it's just not going to work, is it?
It won't even come close. And that's where the sources pivot from the problem to the solution, which is a specialized guides and outfitters liability policy.
Okay.
And the origin of this is actually really important. This type of insurance, it didn't just appear. The sources say it was driven by, and this is a quote, pleas from professional guides and outfitters all over the country. They knew they weren't covered.
That's a key point. So let's say a guide already has some kind of general business insurance, like a CGL policy.
Yeah.
Why isn't that enough? What's the specific catch?
The catch is in the fine print, always. And it's almost always something called the watercraft exclusion.
Okay.
Your standard commercial general liability policy is for a building, you know, a shop or an office. The moment you introduce a boat, especially one over a certain size or horsepower, that exclusion kicks in and your coverage is essentially void.
So a guide could be paying their premiums every month, thinking they're protected.
Mm.
A client slips on the dock, getting into the base boat, and the insurance company says, sorry, that involved a watercraft. You're on your own.
That's the nightmare scenario. And that's a catastrophic risk for a small business. The specialized guide policy is built specifically to eliminate that exclusion.
And what about the coverage amounts? The sources mention it being affordable, but what's the actual industry standard we're talking about?
Right. Affordable is nice, but the real number to know is the limit.
Mm-hmm.
Across the board, the standard seems to be $1 million per occurrence and $2 million in the aggregate.
A million per incident, $2 million total.
Yep. Anything less than that, and in a really bad accident, the guide could be personally on the hook for the rest.
Now, the sources bring up the American Hunting Lease Association, the HLA, as being central to this. which, you know, might sound a bit odd, why is a hunting organization creating insurance for fishing guides?
It's a great question, and it's about the underlying risk profile. The AHLA saw that whether you're guiding a hunter on a lease or an angler on a river, the fundamental risks are the same.
How so?
You're operating on land or water you don't own, you're dealing with permits, unpredictable environments, and you are always, always managing client safety. So by creating one big master program, they could pool all those users together.
Ah, so it's about scale. They get a much better deal from the national insurance carriers.
Exactly. It makes the coverage robust and affordable. Plus, it ensures it's compliant with all the different state and federal agencies, which is a huge headache for guides who work across different jurisdictions.
Okay, let's shift to proactive stuff, because insurance is the backstop.
Right.
What about things like waivers, those release forms you sign? Where do they fit in?
Waivers are critical, but guides really need to understand what they do and, more importantly, what they don't do.
They're not a get-out-of-jail-free card.
Not at all. A waiver can protect a guide from the inherent risks of fishing. You know, you might get a hook in your thumb, a fish might flop around and hit you. That's just part of it.
Assumed risk.
Assumed risk, exactly. But a waiver will almost never hold up in court if the accident was caused by what's called gross negligence.
So give me an example.
Okay, so if I sign a waiver and then I accidentally hook myself while casting, that's on me. But if the guide, say, let an intoxicated client drive the boat and we crash, my waiver isn't going to protect that guide from a lawsuit.
Right, that makes sense. So you need a three-part system.
Yep.
Good training and safety briefings, waivers for the inherent risks, and then the assurance for when things go wrong, despite all that.
That's the complete picture.
Let's talk about the business side of this, the efficiency. Because for a fishing guide, time is literally money. If you're not on the water, you're not earning.
And the old way of getting insurance was just slow. The sources make a big deal out of how this has been modernized. It has to work on a guide's schedule.
You work when the fish are biting, as they say.
Pretty much. So now a guide can go online, get an instant quote, and do the entire application right there. And the key thing is they can be covered the very next day.
And that speed isn't just a nice to have, is it? It's often essential.
Oh, absolutely. A lot of times, to even get a permit for a state park or access a private launch, a guide has to provide a certificate of insurance, a COI.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes they need to name the park or the landowner as an additional insured. The ability to get that document instantly can be the difference between booking a trip and losing it.
That really shows that the solution is designed to, you know, help the business run, not slow it down with red tape.
Yeah.
So to wrap this part up, our deep dive really shows that a professional fishing guide is, well, they're a pretty sophisticated service provider. They have to manage these very specific, sometimes surprising risks, from a slip on the dock to a hidden sump.
And the only real solution is that targeted, specific liability insurance that's built to cover those exact risks and avoid the pitfalls of a general policy.
Okay, before we finish, the sources also briefly touch on some related services in this whole outdoor industry. Let's connect those dots quickly.
Yeah, this is for anyone interested in the bigger picture. The organizations behind this insurance, they're also deep in the land access business. They mentioned two services.
Okay.
The first is base camp leasing, which is for hunters who want to lease private land. And the second is base camp country real estate, which is for people looking to buy their own hunting or rural land. It's all part of the same ecosystem of outdoor recreation.
Right. It all connects back to providing access and managing the risks that come with it.
Precisely.
So we've established that this industry needs a very specialized solution for a unique set of risks. This whole deep dive has been focused on fishing guides, but it brings up a much broader question, I think.
The wider application.
Right.
Right. Yeah. I mean, when you look at any specialized service, could be a mechanic, a climbing instructor, an IT consultant, how often are the most critical, the most business-ending liabilities?
Mm.
Not the big obvious dangers, but those small, surprising, overlooked details.
Like a lure in the hand.
Exactly. Not the boat sinking. Think about the hidden dangers in the niche professional fields you rely on every day. What are the tiny details that carry the biggest price tag? It's often not what you think.